News, weather, sports, and the stories that hit home. WGIL, Galesburg's local news.
And good evening. It's 5 p.m. on Galesburg's local news. I'm Terry Cavanaugh, along with news director Tyler Bachman. And our special guest tonight on Galesburg's evening news is Governor Bruce Rauner. We want to talk a little bit about the stopgap bridge impact on Galesburg and the budget, and we welcome the governor to our studios tonight.
Great evening. It's good to be here with you. It's a beautiful evening in Galesburg. I look forward to chatting.
Yeah, you've had a busy day already, correct?
It's been a good full day, as most days. I love traveling the state as my job. I really enjoy the people of Illinois, and it's great to be here. I started the morning in Rockford, then we were over in Moline, and here now we're in Galesburg, and we're going to stop by the Iron Spike after this, say hi to a few folks, and then heading home to Springfield.
Yeah, craft beers, right?
And I do love local-made craft beers. It's a lot of fun.
Mm-hmm. Tyler?
Yeah, absolutely. Governor, there's been a lot going on throughout the state these past few weeks, really.
It's been a busy time.
Yeah, absolutely. What's your life kind of been like for the last couple of weeks going through all of this?
Well, you know, we've been working hard to get a truly balanced budget. It's a big deal. I've looked back at the numbers. I can't find a balanced budget going back 25 years in Illinois. We always spend more than we bring in, and to cover it, we either don't pay our pensions, or we don't pay our bills, or we borrow from the bond market. This is wrong. It's not sustainable, and it's pushed a lot of employers and a lot of jobs out of the state. So I've pushed for a balanced budget, and to get a balanced budget, we need reforms. We've got to grow the economy. We can't have our economy be flat with no job creation while our government spending keeps going up and up and up. It's not sustainable. That causes the unbalanced budget. So we've been pushing for reforms, workers' comp reform so our manufacturers are competitive, local control of costs of government so we can get true property tax relief and bring down our sky-high property tax burden. Pension reform, which is a huge issue, and political reform. You know, we've had a one-party state for years. The Speaker Madigan's supermajority has controlled the General Assembly for more than 30 years, and they've spent us kind of into the ditch. And for 12 years, there was a governor from the same party and competing with them to see who could have more deficit spending. That's caused us to go off the rails. We're bringing discipline to the process, but to get the long-term balanced budgets, we've got to have reforms. And here's the key. Political reform could make the big difference. If we could get term limits and we could get fair maps so we can have competitive general elections, then we can have a two-party system and real competitive elections and change the culture here. So we're pushing hard for the political reform, too.
One of the challenges, I think, was what some called a bailout of the Chicago public schools. Yep. And while they're getting some money in this stopgap budget, there's also something tied to pension parity, which
would be tied
to a reform plan, correct?
That's exactly right. No, this is a really big deal. The stopgap spending plan that we came up with last week, very positive news for the taxpayers of the state, very positive news for our school districts and our teachers, and also very, very positive development for growing our economy. Here's what happened. We were successful in three key initiatives last week. Number one, we stood up and said no to Speaker Madigan's wildly out of balance $7 billion deficit budget. We said no, we've got to stop the deficit spending, and we prevented that wildly out of balance budget from passing. That was a big victory for taxpayers because that budget would have forced a big tax hike on us without reform. So that was a big victory. And now we're spending at a much less level than in that budget, number one. Number two, we got our schools to be open on time with an affordable amount more money. I'm a big education advocate. We demanded more money for our schools last year and got it. We're demanding more this year and got it. And we did it without bailing out Chicago public schools. That's a big deal. The Speaker Madigan supermajority wanted a bailout for Chicago because they've been so financially mismanaged. They demanded $500 million more strictly for Chicago. We said no. We'll give Chicago a little bit more, but we want all school districts to get more that are low income around the state, and we got that done. That's a big victory for our teachers and our taxpayers across Illinois. And then as you pointed out, the extra benefit we got is pension reform now, teacher pension parity for Chicago and the rest of the state, all tied to massive broad-based pension reform in all pension systems throughout the state. That can save us billions over time, and that got into the agreement on a bipartisan basis, and that's why I'm very excited about it.
Otherwise, it doesn't happen, right?
No, that's right. If there's no pension parity for Chicago, we're not going to help Chicago anymore unless there's massive pension reform as part of the deal.
Are you still good with Senator Cullerton's pension reform plan? You were, I thought, in favor of
it. Yes, I agree with it. It doesn't go far enough, but as a first step, it can save us billions of dollars, so I do support it. We recommended our own variation of the same type of plan that was a little bit more comprehensive and would have saved about $2.5 billion per year. His saves $1 billion. You know what? It, either way, it's a step in the right direction. Mm-hmm. And if we do his pension plan, but not only have it apply to state pensions, but all pensions, state and local and schools around the around Illinois, that can make a big difference.
Sure, sure. Governor, can you talk a little bit about the K through 12 appropriation? It's being fully funded for the first time since 2009.
Yeah.
After this, I guess this year is up, what can maybe happen in the next year or so, and what can teachers and students look forward to after that?
Yeah, so that's I'm glad you asked about that. It's a big deal. One of the main reasons I ran for governor is I'm a big education advocate. I want the best public schools in every school district across Illinois. My wife and I have dedicated much of our time and resources to improving public education in Illinois for the last 25 years. One of the things that I want to change is Illinois is dead last. We are the worst state in America for state support for local public schools. We give less money from the state to our local school districts than any other state. That is wrong. Our percentage needs to go up a lot, and we're changing it. I changed it last year, and I'm changing it this year. Most people around the state don't know this, but Speaker Madigan's supermajority cut school funding from the state four times in the last 10 years. They even cut it after the income tax hike they put in place in 2011. They've used state funding for schools as a political football, and I said, stop that. Schools come first. Kids come first. Teachers come first. More money for schools every year, and let's make sure that our low-income districts and our rural districts get more money, and we're changing that system.
You know, we had a panel in here a few months ago of college presidents talking about the MAP grant funding. They were very upset and very concerned about students that they were going to lose to maybe other out-of-state colleges because they couldn't get that funding or they were just not going to be going to college.
No, that's right. No, the lack of a balanced budget has been devastating on a lot of levels. I'm a big believer in scholarships and MAP grants for low-income kids who need support. In fact, I'm a personal big funder of scholarships for low-income kids. We need a good MAP grant program, and we need to fund our universities. Can't do it if we don't have balance. We've got to stop passing budgets where the money is not there. And then not paying our bills. We got to have balance, and that's what we're insisting on. And if we have a more competitive economy, we'll always have balanced budgets, and we'll have the resources to properly fund our schools and our scholarships.
Sure.
You know, one of the questions somebody asked me last week after we visited with Representative Moffitt, we were talking right after the budget agreement, and somebody said to me, well, where's that money coming from? And, you know, I think it's a really good question because is it coming out of the general revenue fund? Are we borrowing it from other special funds? And what happens to those funds if we keep borrowing from them?
The stopgap agreement that we have right now is fully funded. We have the money in the various accounts right now. That's the reason it's only a stopgap. It's not a long-term balanced budget, and we are still running at an unsustainable rate. That's why we have to have reforms this winter with a truly balanced budget. That's the priority for the winter.
Sure. Governor, we've seen the stopgap go through. Can you kind of go through maybe how another compromise can happen for a full budget?
Thank you. It's a great question. So we have been encouraging. I've been meeting one-on-one with legislators now for the past year, and I've been encouraging them without my control or supervision and without Speaker Madigan's control. I've said, you guys meet and try to come to a meeting of the minds. Try to come up with a creative compromise. I may not like every piece of it. But Speaker Madigan almost certainly won't. He doesn't want any change at all. But come to something that you, as in good faith, as legislators, can agree on and announce it. Let's get something on the table that's good bipartisan compromise. And they were making great progress. I was excited. They were going to advocate good pension reform. They were going to advocate workers' comp reform, which is the number one regulation that's pushing our manufacturing base out of Illinois. And they were pushing true property tax relief through more local control. They were about to announce that at the beginning of May. Speaker Madigan heard that was coming, heard what's in it, and he said no. He killed it. But I believe there's now a groundswell in the General Assembly to stand up to that. And I believe, and this stopgap budget is an indication. Mm-hmm. The General Assembly said no to his proposed $7 billion out-of-balance budget, and they've said pension reform is on the table. This is the first step to a grand compromise, I think, next winter.
Will you meet at all this summer? I mean, will even some of those parties meet? Because
they should.
No,
it's far from over. They should. I've asked them to in small groups, or frankly, the whole General Assembly, come on back. I'm in Springfield 7 days a week, pretty much. And I said, I'll meet with you anytime, anywhere. I may well have to start traveling the state and just to go see legislators, so I'll probably have to go up to Chicago to meet with them. We need to negotiate every week going forward, because if we're going to get something done here this winter, we got to be working on it now.
How does the November election impact that?
Well, it has a big impact. You know, what happens in November will have a large determination of where we come out. Will we have reformers have a louder voice in the General Assembly, or will we have more folks who defend the status quo? If Speaker Madigan's supermajority gets more power, the odds of reforms go down and the status quo is likely to get protected, and the odds of a very big tax hike with no reforms go up. If we can have some more reformers come into office, if we can have a true two-party government rather than a one-party government in the General Assembly, we can, you know, because we need compromise. We need a two-party system. That's the only way democracy works. You need two parties working with each other, coming up with creative solutions that both sides can agree on. We need to be a two-party state. If we get that done and have more balance with both parties having a voice in the General Assembly, I think we can create a great future for Illinois.
Yeah, Governor, how do you think this whole situation over the past year has kind of put us in the scheme of things throughout the United States for other states around here? Do we still look strong, business friendly in the state, or is it something that's has hurt us, this impasse?
Well, you know, the impasse has been a bit of a negative, but frankly, what the business community in Illinois and around the country has said to me is, Governor, stand strong. You're on the right track. Illinois needs to change its tax and regulatory climate. We would like to come to Illinois, but you got to show that taxpayers have a voice. Before I came into office, we had the worst credit rating in America. Before I came into office, we had the biggest unfunded pensions in America. Before I came into office, we had the biggest unpaid bill pile in America. And before I came into office, we were ranked number 47 out of 50 states, almost dead last for attractiveness to business. This is what I ran to change, and the business community around America, I've been meeting with them. They want to come to Illinois because we've got hardworking people, we've got a great location, great agriculture, great infrastructure, but they've said, Governor, you need reform. GE was going to come. I recruited GE to come. They were going to make Illinois their first choice for corporate headquarters, mm-hmm. but they said, we can't leave one failed state to go another failed state. Connecticut, all they do is raise their income tax to cover their deficits. Show us, Governor, that Illinois won't do that to us, and if you can, we'll come. I couldn't get the reforms done, so they went to another state. We need the reforms, and we can recruit a lot of employers and get more jobs.
Governor, we often hear that term turnaround agenda, and what did you have to perhaps compromise on yourself for this?
Well, you know, there are many things. You know, I've done a lot of turnarounds in my life. I've been a business builder with dozens of successful companies. I know what businesses are looking for. We have got massive support from the Chamber of Commerce, from the Small Business Council, from everybody who are job creators. They're with us. I had a 44-point plan to turn the state around when I came into office. I laid it all out clearly. But I said, look, I'll never get everything done. I'm in a super minority. I realize that there's a lot of people who like the status quo and don't want to change. So I cut that back from 44 points down to 6 bills. And at this point, we've reduced it down to basically 4 things. What I'm really pushing for, 4 things. Workers' comp reform, so we can bring more manufacturers. Local control on government costs, so we can bring down our property tax burden. Comprehensive pension reform. Reform, and then political reform for term limits and redistricting. Those 4 things are essential to getting Illinois going the right way. That's what we got to get done.
Governor, we want to thank you for being with us here tonight. I think it's time to wrap up if I'm reading faces correctly. But thank you so much. Enjoy the craft beer at Iron Spike next door. And thanks for joining us on Galesburg's Evening News.
Well, it's been an honor to be with you in studio. I appreciate it. I look forward to coming back again. Thank you.
Please do.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. And we'll return with a look at Fox News coming your way in just a moment here on Galesburg's Evening News. For Tyler Bachman, I'm Terry Cavanaugh, and our thanks again to Governor Bruce Rauner.